Hey there, everybody. This is Andrew Edwards with GearLife.com with your next GearLife podcast. Today, we're going to be sitting with Tiffany Cheng, the co-director of Participatory Culture. If you're unfamiliar, Participatory Culture is offers a unique way to distribute content on over the internet, specifically talking about video. There's going to be a couple of tools that they make available that will allow you to both play video on the internet and distribute video with virtually no bandwidth cost, high quality full screen, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So Tiffany, I want to welcome you and thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.
Sure, thank you for having me.
So let's get into participatory culture and the Participatory Culture Foundation. How did the company start?
Well, we stuck with the name Participatory Culture because we think it participatory explains exactly what we think the internet can do for us. So that's why we stuck with the name Participatory Culture, despite the fact that some people have a hard time saying it. And we started about 2 years ago. We started Downhill Battle, which is a separate organization. And we did a lot of music activism, did a different kinds of campaigns around the music industry. And, you know, we started to see that the internet presented this unprecedented opportunity to really engage people and give people the tools that they need to both participate in the political process and the cultural process at the highest level. So the Participatory Culture Foundation came out of a set of software tools that we think can help bring millions more people into the process of making politics, both at the policy-making level and making culture at the art-making level. So we're really excited to make this software, and this video player project is our big software tool that will help a lot of people make their own video channel and be able to distribute and broadcast their work to millions of people in a fashion that's very similar to TV. And so we're looking, you know, the Participatory Culture Foundation is looking for the best way to make policy and culture, just like the people at in a government and at the head of mainstream media make culture.
Okay. So are you guys trying to, like, level the playing field as far as, you know, the media? They have their outlet on television every afternoon, every evening, and at nighttime. Anybody can turn on a television and watch their local news channel, or you can, you know, turn CNN or what have you. Anyone in the government can get airtime on TV. Is this your way of, you know, like I said, leveling the playing field to give anybody a voice?
Yes, we do think that these tools can help level the playing field. We don't have the problem of a limited number of channels anymore. You know, you can have an unlimited number of channels. Anybody can have those video channels. And that means that people can produce videos at lower cost because video cameras are cheaper, computers are cheaper, bandwidth is cheaper, and that means that you can put a video that you made in front of millions of people at a lower cost, and you don't need a corporate structure behind you to get that video out to millions of people, and you don't need to go through, you know, a labyrinthine process through an institution to reach millions of people with your news content. And it's just these simple tools that people need see that they can have a video channel and they can see other people's work full screen and high quality. This is what makes videos worth watching, and we're trying to make it so that even the big guys, even those in the mainstream media, have to play in this field, because if this is where people are watching their videos, and if this is the main way that people are getting most of their video content, everybody has to play in this field, and the field is in of itself leveled. So we're hoping that that happens.
That's excellent. So let's go into a little bit of what you were talking about earlier. You mentioned channels. For those that don't understand the software, what exactly do you mean by channels? Like, when I'm sitting on my couch watching TV, a channel to me is, you know, a station. I can change the channel. I can, you know, switch whatever shows I want to watch. In relationship to participatory culture, when you say channel, what do you mean?
Well, we mean something very similar to that. But with the internet, channels can be almost anything. Channels can represent a similar thing that, you know, your Channel 4 represents, where Channel 4 pulls together different kinds of programming and presents it to you as a package and says, this is Channel 4, this is the kind of content we have, and you come back to us because you like it. Anybody out there can make a Channel 4, can say, this is the content that I like, I'm going to put it on my channel, I'm going to be a curator of these videos and send it out to you, and you're going to come back to me because you think my channel's awesome and that I put out great stuff.
Excellent. So let's talk about Broadcast Machine for a moment. Like you said, you can install this on your server, on your website, and you can just upload videos. You can create as many channels as you want. As far as watching these videos, when you create a channel, what kind of options do you have? Do you upload a file and then, you know, when someone wants to watch it, it just automatically gets downloaded through RSS? Or can someone create a channel that just has nonstop video that you have to tune in at the right time if you want to catch a certain show or piece of video?
The answer to that is that watching video of anybody's channel is a lot like the first option that you gave me, and less like the second, because we're basically making with a video player an RSS reader for video. So whenever you, as the video maker, put something on your channel, I download it through my video player. But the video player also, you know, it's not necessary to use if your viewers like to just watch videos on web pages. I can go to your web page, which has a link to your channel and also shows me all the videos that are sitting on your channel. I can just decide that I want to download one of them and see what it's like. But the primary way that these channels are going to be viewed is through the video player, because I only have to subscribe once to a channel. Every time a new video gets added by any one of the video makers that I'm subscribed to, that video comes down to me automatically without any effort from me.
So, basically, this is almost like a DVR or TiVo, if you will, for internet video.
Yeah, exactly. I would say that what we're making is a combination of an RSS reader for video plus the pre-delivered capability of a TiVo, plus a sort of music store like similar to iTunes, where you can go and more carefully select videos that you want to watch. And on top of that, we also have a donation system / a way to buy CDs, DVDs, / merchandise from your video makers more directly within the video player.
So you can actually set up a channel that you can either set up a donation box or require some sort of payment in order for someone to view?
Yeah, the platform is very open, and at the same time we provide and eventually we'll have more streamlined one-click donations and one-click purchase of CDs, DVDs, where a user's information is, a PayPal information or a BitPass information is already collected, and the video maker's information is already collected, and they click once while they're watching a video, and, you know, money from their account goes straight to their video maker's account. So it's a great way, it's a much more easy way to support the community of video makers that you want to support. It's integrated and it's one click. So, you know, we just cut to the chase. We're saying, these are the videos that you like, so watch them. Find out about them, watch them. And then this is the way that we create a more sustainable video making culture. And so, you know, donate to them, buy stuff from them, or watch their advertisements. It's a very, very open platform, and is a building block for building a more creative, participating culture.
Excellent. Now, let me ask you about installation. You've said a couple of times that it's, you know, really simple to use. So let's talk about Broadcast Machine, because that's actually available right now. If I was a novice webmaster and I wanted to distribute video through Broadcast Machine, what steps would I need to take to get that up and running?
You go to Broadcast Machine's webpage, which is participatoryculture.org/BM, and you download the latest version of Broadcast Machine. Once it gets to your desktop, you get a Broadcast Machine folder, which you FTP to your website. If you understand FTP, which you probably do, then all you do is add that folder to wherever your website is. If you don't understand FTP, it's basically just, you know, using an FTP graphical client and adding a folder to your website.
Right.
It's basically putting the files on your server so that you can use them on a website. So that's what the first step. And then you go to that your website /BM, and you should be able to log in and create a channel. So right after you log in, you can click on the channel tab and say, create the Tiffany Chang channel. And then I hit create, and all of a sudden I have my channel. And when I go to publish by clicking on the publish tab, I can post a file from my computer to others using BitTorrent with one click. Or I can link to a file that I have hosted on archive.org or Our Media or Common Bits, and I just say, add this to the Tiffany Chang channel, and then I hit post this file or publish this file, and this file gets added to my channel. And that whole process takes about 5 minutes. You can do other things like add thumbnails and more metadata or more tags, but that's basically it. And you can, you know, you can choose to use BitTorrent or not use BitTorrent. It's up to you. And using BitTorrent means that you save yourself some money. But you also have options of using internet libraries like the Internet Archive to host your files.
Really? So you can actually use public archive services like archive.org or Our Media, put your file on there and just link to it through the Broadcast Machine. And then when people hook up to Broadcast Machine and watch your video, it'll have to be taken from those locations.
Yes, exactly. As long as you're willing to share your work with others, Internet Archive and Our Media are very willing to, are more than open to having you share your files using their hosting service.
Cool. Now, after you set this up on your website, you publish a video, does the software automatically, you know, list on the site what videos you've uploaded so that when visitors come and look, they see the selections, or is that something you'd have to manually put in yourself?
No, we have a standard, you know, front page view of what your channel looks like, and this is the web page that you can link people to see what videos are on your channel. On that same page or on your front page of your website, you can have a subscribe to the Andrew Edwards subscribe to the Andrew Edwards channel, and as soon as this user sees that clicks on that button, they'll get asked if they want to download the video player to watch the videos, and if they say yes, then they get the video player downloaded to their computer, and they get your channel subscribe to that video player automatically. So just with one click, they get your channel and the video player, and they can start watching videos. If they already have the video player, that channel will get automatically added to the video player. So it works both. It's the web page serves as an entry point for people to find out about your channel and see what videos you have and possibly watch a few while they're at it. And also to subscribe to your channel and say, yes, I want to have this direct connection to your videos and to whatever else you have to put on your channel. And they just click once and they get that connection. And that's it.
Okay. Let's talk about the DTV video player now. This is the other part of the, you know, participatory culture software set, which you say should be coming later on this month, correct?
Yep, we're launching at the end of this month, and we're really, really excited about it because all this talking about how these videos are going to look and how people are going to have a million channels and be able to watch the 20 that they love at any one time will finally be here and be less abstract. So we're excited to release the video player.
Okay. What platforms is this going to be available for? Is it only Windows in the beginning, or
no? It's
Windows
going
Mac?
To be. Oh, it's we should. We will probably be releasing both the Windows and the Mac version at the same time.
Very excellent. Okay, and how does this work? You download this, and it just sits on your desktop, like you said. What is the interface kind of? What does it look like? If you can give us a a visual.
So this is an application that can, if you're on a Mac, can just always be open and sit on your dock, and whenever you get new videos, you'll know. And probably similarly on a Windows. And the interface looks similar to NetNewsWire in that there is a side panel and then there's a main screen. And the side panel is where your channels are, and the main screen is where your videos can play if you want it to play there. But for the most part, the video player is going to look like video, full screen video on your computer, so the whole screen will be taken up by video. But other than that, it looks similar to, It looks similar to a little bit like iTunes because it has some iTunes-like functionality, and also that front page view of the channel that I mentioned before that people can go and look at on your website is also the same view that people see when they click on your channel and want to choose manually from their video player also.
Now, you mentioned iTunes-like functionality. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, you can save videos. You can say, I want to make a sort of playlist/collection for my brother's birthday, and I can save videos on my computer and add it to that collection, and then give it to my brother or play it back during my brother's wedding or something like that. So there's archival functionality. And just in terms of the playing functionality, it's very similar to iTunes where you hit play once on a song that you want to hear, and then the song starts playing and you get to just listen to your whole music list just by clicking once.
Right. Are you able to preview?
Not now. Not quite yet, no. Maybe probably in later versions, or the way to do previews now is upload a preview yourself as a video maker / publisher,
right?
And people will get the preview.
Okay. Now talking about the directory, you said that if I'm a publisher using the software, that not only will it rest on my website, but anyone that has the video player software will be able to find my feed, correct?
Yeah.
How How is that? How would I get into that directory if I installed, if I installed Broadcast Machine on my server and uploaded, 5 or 10 videos? How do I end up in your directory?
Well, one thing is just we one thing is that the internet serves as a wonderful directory. People will link to your channel, and people will find out about it because a lot of people link to it. So when they type in, Gear Live, they'll find your channel, or they'll type in like video for cats or something like that, and they'll find the most popular channels out there that have to do with cats and video. And so that's one of the main ways that people will find out about channels. And it's a great way because it helps independent stuff rise to the top, based on quality and based on, the story or whatever else. And we think that's a great way to as a marketing tool for a lot of these channels. And then another thing that we're going to do on our side is we're going to also provide a channel guide. So when you first open the DTV player, you are presented with the channel guide, and you'll show the you'll see the featured channels, and you'll see new channels. It's going to be dynamically generated list of channels, and every new channel that comes on will be listed at one point or another. And otherwise, if we also have top video channels, and you can see what channels are rising in popularity and find out about channels that way. And you can subscribe any channel to that channel guide and let people know that channel exists. So the video player also provides this directory of channels, and the internet serves as a great directory also.
Okay. So, as far as your directory goes, would I have to submit my channel to you in the DTV application, or is it automatically picked up somehow?
That part is still to be determined. Most broadcast machine channels will probably be automatically picked up. But if you have an RSS feed out there that has videos on it, that's a channel too. But you have to tell us about it. If you have a web page full of videos, that's a channel also, but that has to be told to you know you have to tell us that that channel exists. And within the channel guide, you can add your channel very easily. You can just tell us what the channel is, and we'll automatically add that channel. And people will tag channels and list them under different tags, and that's another way that people will find out about channels. Because those will get added also, either through, searching through Google or Yahoo Media or something like that.
Right. So, pardon me. Just to clarify, you can actually be a part of DTV without using Broadcast Machine.
Yes, that is true. And it's very likely that very popular channels that exist now will be a part of DTV viewing. You can watch, the Reuters channel, Reuters news channel, and they don't necessarily have to go in and add their channel. You just have to type in Reuters news channel and get that channel.
Okay, so these tools work together, but you actually don't need to use Broadcast Machine. So you're actually accomplishing your mission in two different ways here. Allowing people to publish video through Broadcast Machine if they didn't have another way to do it, or don't understand the more complicated ways of getting that done. And the DTV portion, which just allows anyone with video content on the internet to reach a larger audience. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's very well said. That's exactly right. The video player will play any channel out there with any with videos, and you can play single videos eventually. And the video player is there for you to use to gather all the videos that you like and tell your friends about them. But at the same time, Broadcast Machine is out there so that we can say, if you don't know how to use BitTorrent and you want to use BitTorrent, we've created an interface that is one click. So use Broadcast Machine if you like. If you don't know how to make an RSS feed of your videos, use Broadcast Machine because we do all of that stuff for you. And also, these feeds, these Broadcast Machine feeds, play really well with DTV. And, you know, you can see the thumbnails that you've added to each video, and all of that works. All the RSS feeds out there don't all work perfectly with DTV. You can't, we're trying to make sure that you can see a thumbnail when we grab a video from any RSS feed or web page, but that's not going to always happen. So Broadcast Machine is out there for people to both copy the format of and to use just as their publishing tool. So that you can get all that information out there, you know, the metadata that you want and the extra information that you want and to tell people about and the thumbnails that you want to show when you display a video.
Right. As far as the community aspect of this, because I'm starting to realize the great potential of, you know, people banding together under this, what other kind of community features are you going to have, if any? Will people be able to go in and, you know, comment on videos or give a rating to a video or go into DTV and see something they like and recommend it to a friend through the interface or anything like that?
Yeah, we're not going to do any commenting for now. We'll see how that plays out and if that's something that people actually want to do. But you can recommend video channels or videos to your friend, and that'll be one click also. And the other community aspect of it is just creating that channel where you can that way of donating to your favorite artists/video makers. That's another way that we're creating community, and the RSS feed in of itself is a community making tool. But for now, we're going to hold off on the comments and see how that goes and if that's what people want. I'm sure that's what's going to happen with the video player eventually, one way or the other.
Okay.
But, you know, websites still can be the place where people add comments to. On the Downhill Battle website, decided that I wanted to have my video channel plus comments, I could do that there, and that's the best way for people to see what people are saying when they have something to say.
Okay. What other projects is participatory culture doing right now, if any? Aside from the DTV and Broadcast Machine.
Well, we're also making a set of politics software tools that help people engage in policy making. And the first one of that set is Conversate, which is it's a simple website tool that lets people create conversations on the fly with private or public groups. That means I can find an article on the web that I like and say, hey, this is interesting to me, and click on the Conversate bookmarklet, which is just basically a button that says Conversate on it, that sits on your web browser. I click on that and I can quickly then invite my family or my friends to a conversation about that article. The article link gets pasted in, and I can just say, hey, this is a really interesting article that has to do with Cape Cod. Why don't we all talk about it? And my friends get an email saying, come and talk about this article. And we saw this as you know, forwarding emails is basically a dead end. And you send out these emails about these articles, and no one ever responds because, you know, it's too... labyrinthine a process where comments are all over the place. So instead, you have a message board attached to an article or a picture or whatever else, and we can talk about it. And at the same time, it organizes all my different conversations with all these people. We have various email lists that we're subscribed to, and I no longer use those because it hasn't served the purpose that Conversate serves, which is just to organize my conversations for me and invite people to different conversations that I want to invite them to, and create these really nice private ways to stay in touch with people. But that's a small project, and we also have the regular, which is a political /dot-like blog that, you know, people can contribute political news stories to, and that's going well. It has some good readership, but the other tools that we want to make are still in development. One of which is called Open Congress. It's a repository for finding out about any sort of legislation that's going through the White House, and we're grabbing all publicly available data from Thomas.gov and different other places, and putting them in one space where other people can come in and comment on it, and actually and reword the bill so that other people can understand. And that rewording of the bill will sit side by side with the original wording that Congress put out, and this creates this access point for people who can't read legislative language, who want to find out about a bill so that they can do their nonprofit work, or who want to find out about a bill and go and, you know, have an action. And if this becomes, if Open Congress becomes a center for finding out about bills and also for commenting on bills, then we get this system where people are putting out insider information about a bill before, you know, news finds out about it, or people come in and drop secrets so that other people can, you know, act on it. And it's the first step to getting people a part of what's happening in Congress. And we're really excited about it. You can actually go see the website. It's opencongress.org. But it's still in development, and each bill will also link you to different action tools that we're also developing, which we haven't put out yet.
Okay. Well, so these are action tools that allow you to basically act on the information presented to you, maybe contact your local representative or something like that?
Yeah, it would be very similar to that, but we also have a bigger idea of, you know, message boards being a very important part of policy making. And if only we can use message boards more efficiently and get conversations that turn into action, that turn into policy. So if we're built, we would like to build a message board that focuses conversations and allows people to build on top of each other's conversations and end up with something that is coherent and solid and very serious, and that, you know, I as a non-politician want to participate in and comment on, and possibly a congressional staff would want to come in and comment on, because it's finally a serious message board where people actually use their conversation to create policy or share information with others so that, you know, so that they can find out about a really good way to do a recycling program or something like that.
Very cool. If we can switch for a moment to Downhill Battle, this is a site that many Gear Live readers are familiar with. We've covered a few things from there. Namely, the large one was President Bush and his iPod filled with what appeared to be pirated music. Do you want to share any information on that, how that came about?
It was sort of this So I guess someone found out, and I can't remember who, or just reported that Bush had over 70% or something like that of pirated music on his iPod, and so someone wanted to call him out on that, and we sort of jumped in on it and said that we'll make a website called Sue the President, and if anybody wants to take over the graphic design and the writing of it, since we were busy with this video player project, then they could have that website. I think that's still in development. We'll see. I mean, I think it was just, you know, Bush has been supportive of the MPA and the RIA tactics on, you know, suing families and saying that a lot of file sharing is doesn't have anything to do with making culture better. And we're saying, well, most of the time, people find out about music through file sharing, and including your president. Your president has a lot of music on his iPod that he got through a file sharing network in one way or another, and that's how he stays in touch with his music. And it's pretty funny that he did that. He has an iPod like that, it wasn't shocking.
Well, no, I mean, it's not shocking because most people with iPods, you know, not all the music on there was directly purchased or ripped from a CD that they own and ripped to their computer. Right. So the SueThePresident.com website is still in development, correct?
Okay, correct.
Yes, that's still in development.
Have you guys gotten any feedback from, you know, anyone in Congress about that? Or anyone?
No, I think when the website comes out, I think they'll probably be talking about it, but we haven't gotten any direct feedback now.
Okay. Excellent. Well, we definitely enjoy the work you guys do at Downhill Battle. I think it's an excellent informational tool to kind of keep up on what's going on in the music industry and, you know, the fight, the back and forth battle going on for fair use. And participatory culture, pretty much the same thing, but for video. I'm very excited to see, you know, the things people are going to come up with. And the tools that you're providing are, like you said, simple, easy to use, and will allow anyone basically with a video camera who can put, you know, transcode that video to their computer and put it on the internet to have a voice. Any last comments you want to make to the listeners?
I think that I didn't mention the main point of what our organization does, which is that we have a political and social bent, and we want to do these things for political reasons because we think that when more people participate in making politics and culture, that we get a better political system and we get better politics and we get better culture. And one of the main deterrences to that happening, since there are so many people in this world, is that we don't have the tools to do that, and it's hard to, you know, be a legislator. Not everybody can be a legislator, and not everybody can be a video maker, and not everybody can have a channel on current TV. But if we make things more simple, if we make BitTorrent simpler to use, and if we make watching video on the internet easier to use, and if we take video off of web pages and turn it into an application that's just like TV, then we can make a culture that's better, and we can be in charge of our own culture, and we can put power back into the hands of the people, and that's what we mean by everybody participating, and that's why we care.
Excellent. Well, how are you guys going to get the word out on the DTV and broadcast machine once both tools are out?
Well, we're going to do a pretty big launch in June. We'll see where it goes, but we're hoping that all of the channels, all of our partner organizations that are making channels for the video player will help us.
Okay, excellent. Well, Tiffany, we want to thank you for your time, taking the time to talk to us about this really innovative tool, Participatory Culture Foundation, bringing tools back to the user to give us a voice, and to kind of take back some of the attention from the mainstream media, bringing internet video together into one area rather than keeping it spread out and having to search it out. We're very excited to see this product launch, and we wish you guys the best. And thank you, Tiffany.